So, how did this family gather so much power that at one time, during the reign of Edward the Confessor, it virtually overruled the monarch? The Godwins first appeared in the late 900s. Perhaps the cleverest of them all was not King Harold of Hastings fame, but his father, Earl Godwin. Godwin was the son of a man called Wulfnoth, not an uncommon name in those times, so trying to pin down which Wulfnoth is not an easy task. The Wulfnoth in question may well have been the one called Childe of the South Saxons, modern Sussex. In Saxon times, a Childe was someone of good birth, though not necessarily what we would think of as noble. This Wulfnoth was a thane, which meant literally a server to a superior lord, not a menial, but a minor noble or a gentleman. An earl would have thanes, as would the king. The standing of a thane was measured by the one to whom he owed allegiance, the king's thanes being the most senior. As thanes to the monarch, their influence could be substantial and their opportunities for profit great. It was one of this breed then, Childe Wulfnoth, who appears as candidate for the first Godwin. Under Ethelred II, more popularly known as Ethelred the Unready, Ethelred the Poorly Advised, England was frequently threatened by brutal raiders from without, and by crude and equally brutal ambitions from within. Ethelred ruled England for nearly four awesomely bloody decades. His very coming to the throne resulted from an act of terror. His brother, Edward the Martyr, had been king for 3 years, when in 978 his stepmother had him murdered at Corfe in Dorset, in order that her natural son, Ethelred, should have his throne. 2 years on, the Danish raids began once more, and a decade later, the English were heavily defeated at the Battle of Maldon. London was put under siege, and the Isle of Wight was invaded. Then, in 1002, Ethelred ordered the massacre of all Danes living in England, most of whom had lived peacefully enough for many years. The Danes resumed their onslaught in search of revenge. This time, Ethelred bought off the invaders with tens of thousands of pounds in silver, the infamous Danegeld. It was against this setting that Wulfnoth committed his treachery. Since the summer of 1006, the Danish fleet had been raiding the southeast coast of England. Ethelred called on one of his thanes, Edric, Earl of Mercia, to build an army and navy that would resist and deter the Danish raiders. In 1009, the fleet was assembled off the Kentish port of Sandwich, ready for the defence of the homelands, and one of the flotilla commanders in that fleet was Wulfnoth. So while the ships were waiting off Sandwich for the Danes to arrive, Wulfnoth was accused of treason, that is, making a threat against the throne. It is not known whether the accusation was well-founded or whether it was nothing more than intrigue, but whatever the truth, Wulfnoth escaped before he could be brought to trial. What happened to Wulfnoth is not clear, except that he was never reconciled with the court, and his considerable lands were confiscated and put under royal stewardship. But in 1014, King Ethelred's eldest son Æthelstan died, and in his will he left Wulfnoth's son Godwin his father's confiscated estate in Sussex. This fact offers three pointers to Godwin's position at this important time. First, Godwin's father, Wulfnoth, must either have been dead or still a fugitive. Second, although in the king's eyes Godwin was stained with his father's treason, he was not without very high friends at court, particularly the monarch's first son, the Æthling, or Prince Æthelstan. And third, this bequest must have betokened more than simple friendship. King Ethelred had six sons. Four of them, including Æthelstan and Edmund Ironside, were from his first marriage. Two, Edward and Alfred, were by his second wife, Emma of Normandy. The two families of brothers were manoeuvring for the throne of their father Ethelred. Godwin was in Æthelstan's camp. Godwin perhaps needed little encouragement. The restoration of his father's lands on Æthelstan's death, only 5 years after their confiscation, was more than payment for his services. With the estates came the right to raise forces for his patron, and after Æthelstan's death,